Stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth? The record will reflect that both witnesses did take the oath. We will begin with Dr. Tlaib. Dr. Tlaib.
There are, of course, a lot of variations around VAR. For me, they're equally defective. 13 years ago, I wrote that the VAR encourages misdirected people to take risks with shareholders and ultimately taxpayers' money. That is, regular people's money. I've been since begging for suspension of this measurement of tail risks. We just don't understand tail events. Let's find what risks we can measure, and these are the risks that we should be taking. I wrote that I'd be on the witness stand 13 years ago, and today I'm here. The banking system lost so far more than $4.3 trillion. That's more than they ever made in the history of banking on tail risks, measurement of rare events. But this shouldn't have happened. Data shows that banks routinely lose everything they made over a long period of time in one single blow-up. It happened in 1982. It was money center banks losing everything made in the history of money center banking. One single event, loans to Latin America. The same thing and variation happened in 91 and, of course, now. And every time, society bails them out. Bank risk takers retain their bonuses. They say, oh, one fluke, all right. And they restart the game. This is an aberrant case of capitalism for the profit and socialism for the losses. So I have 5 points associated with VAR. Number one, these problems were obvious all along. This should not have happened. We knew about the defects of the VAR when it was introduced. A lot of traders, a lot of my friends, everyone, I'm not the only person ranting against VAR. A lot of people were ranting against it before. Nobody heard this. Regulators did not listen to anyone who knew what was going on. Point number two, VAR is ineffective. I guess I don't need more evidence than the recent events to convince you, right? Point number three, and that to me is crucial. You have a graph that shows you the performance profile of someone making steady earnings for a long time, then losing back everything. You see from that graph, figure one on page four, that this is a strategy that's pretty much pursued by the majority of people on Wall Street, by banks. They make steady income for a long time, and when they blow up, they say, well, you know, it was unexpected. It was a black swan. I wrote a book called The Black Swan. Unfortunately, they used my book backwards, right? And oh, it was unexpected, highly unexpected. They keep their bonuses. They go on vacation. And here you have a regular person working very hard, a taxpayer, okay, a taxi driver, a post office worker, paying taxes to subsidize retrospectively. All right. Bonuses made, for example, a former government official made $120 million of bonuses at Citibank. He keeps his bonuses. We retrospectively are paying for them. That I said 13 years ago, and it keeps happening, and now we're still in the same situation. So, number four, and that's another crucial point. VAR has side effects. It is not neutral. You give someone a number, it has been shown repeatedly, if you give someone a number, he will act on that number even if you tell him that that number is random. We humans cannot be trusted with numbers. If nothing, it's a lot better if it doesn't work. And this is my central point, the side effects of numerical precision given to people who do not need it. Number five, VAR-style quantitative risk management was behind leverage. We increased our leverage in society as we thought we could measure risk. If you think you can measure your blow-up risk, you're going to borrow. You have more overconfidence. It could be more overconfidence, also as a side effect of measurement. And you're going to borrow. Instead of taking equity from people, you borrow. So when you blow up, you owe that money. And of course, as discussed in my paper, debt bubbles are very vicious. Equity bubbles are not very vicious. Conclusion, what should we be doing? Well, regulators should understand that finance is a complex system. And complex system has very clear characteristics. You know, and one of them is low levels of predictability, particularly of tail events. We have to worry. Regulators should not encourage model error. My idea is to build a society that is resistant to expert mistakes. Regulators, with Basel II, increased the dependence of society on expert mistakes. And with other things, of course, the value at risk, these AAA. You want to build a society that can sustain shocks, because we're moving more and more into a world that delivers very large-scale random variables. But we know exactly how they affect us. So the job of regulators should be to lower the impact of model error. And this is reminiscence of medicine. You know, the side effects. Well, we should be doing the same thing in economic life. Thank you very much for listening to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Shalhoub. Can develop models that will be unfailingly reliable. Dr. Tlaib?
This is my life story.
Right. Okay.
Dr. Buxtehber and I share a lot of opinions like on things like gaming, like the number is going to be gamed on the interaction between model and the participants. However, there's two things or three things I heavily disagree with. And the first one is he said that we can use different distribution to model tail events. Well, that's the story of my life. This is why I provided this paper, forthcoming, in which I look at 20 million pieces of data, every single economic variable I could find, and try to see if there's regularity in the data helping you predict itself outside that sample in which it was derived. Unfortunately, it's impossible. And that's my first argument, is the more remote the event, the less we can predict it. And that's my first point. And the second one is we know which variables are more unpredictable than others, so it's very easy to protect against that. And the third one is that I agree with Dr. Buxtehber. If I were an omnipotent person seeing all the leverage and everything in the system and equipped with heavy equations, I could probably figure out. However, this is a Soviet-style thinking, that someone, some regulators, some unit can out there see what's going on and be able to model. Because unfortunately, when we model in complex system, we have non-linearities. Even if I gave you all the data and you miss something by $1 million, your probabilities, right, would change markedly.
So, Dr. And I'll get to you, Dr. Buxtehber, but your solution then, is it just higher liquidity requirements?
No, I was a trader in the 80s. Right. When I started being a trader in the 80s, there were some products we could really risk manage on a napkin.
Right.
Options, instruments, futures, all these we could risk manage on a napkin. Once we started having these toxic products, that to me, the sole purpose of these products is to create bonuses, like complex derivatives. I was a complex derivatives trader. I have a textbook on complex derivatives, okay? So, and I tell you, these products, okay, can hide massive amount of tail risks. They're not needed for anyone. A lot of these products should not be there. So if you eliminate some of the products or some of the exposure, it would not change anything to economic life, and it would make things a lot more measurable. So my solution is to ban some product that have a toxic exposure to tail events.
Should credit default swaps be banned?
Yeah.
Dr. Tlaib, Dr.
I'm not into regulation to know whether we should be allowed to ban people based on uses, but based on risk, okay, because society doesn't bear the risk. And I have here what I call the force quadrant. And the force, it's a little technical, but it's a very simple rule of thumb. It takes minutes to check if a given financial product belongs or doesn't belong to the force quadrant. In other words, does it have any explosive toxic effects on either the user or the issuer, or both quadrant. These are the exposures we should not just compute, not eliminate. And there are a lot of things we can measure. I mean, I may agree with Dr. Buxtehber's VAR may work for some products, and we know which ones, but not for these products that have open-ended, toxic, geometric, what I call geometric, in other words, escalating payoffs.
Dr. Tlaib? Dr. Westover.